Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we're playing a classic series I have on holiness. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, old things are passed away. And God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto them the word of reconciliation. Yes, we are reconciled to God. Our sins are not imputed against us, but the Bible says, be holy. What know you not? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Walking holy is required for walking in the dunamis power of God. It's not just to get you into heaven. It's what is required for power. Shalom.
In Washington, D.C., to which they had invited leaders of prayer groups all over the country. And some of them were wonderful people. But some of them were leaders of prayer groups of denominations that do not even preach the blood of Jesus. They weren't even saved. And they wanted us all to get together and pray, I guess, I don't know for what. They never did really say. But they had us all together. And it was so hard to come to a place of agreement and prayer, especially with people who are not born again, you know. And, you know, you don't look down on them or anything. You love them, but there's just not an agreement there in prayer. And prayer requires agreement. So, at that time, I had just been working for Kenneth Hagin. And when I mentioned that, some of them looked at me like with daggers in their eyes. So I escaped. I escaped the prayer conference, and I went down into the cafeteria. And down in the cafeteria, I found some other SKPs. And one of them was David Duplessy. And for the 4 days of the conference, we ran down there every day to meet with David Duplessy, and he taught us every day. It was one of the blessings, the great blessings of my life. And David Duplessy taught us that for God to get anything out of you, you've got to have your all on the altar. And he explained to us his process of putting his all on the altar. He was in South Africa, and his father's church had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker's name was Smith Wigglesworth. And David Duplessy was in his office. He'd gone there early. And a man of power stormed into his room. It was Wigglesworth. Took him by the shoulders, pinned him to the wall, and prophesied to him. He said, I will not live to see it, but there are going to be three great moves of God before the Lord comes. The first will be a move of the Spirit in which denominational people are filled with the Spirit of God. We know that was the charismatic movement. Wigglesworth didn't live to see it. He died in 1947. The second, he said, it will be followed by a revival of the Word. Hallelujah. Ooh, good to know you've been in on the will of God, huh? Bless the Lord. These two, he said, will be followed by the greatest move earth has ever known, which will bring back the King, and that will be a revival of the Spirit and the Word together. Glory be to God. You're so blessed here at Eagle Mountain because you have one of the best foundations of the Word and you are willing to move with the Spirit. That's exactly the place to be in this hour. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, he prophesied to Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth prophesied to Brother Duplessy. God is going to use you in the first move. He is going to use you because they're coming in from every denomination. He's going to use you with the hard, dead line denominations. And he's going to use you with the Catholics. It was unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. Back in those days, the Pentecostal people, if you were going to receive the Holy Ghost, you had to come to the Pentecostal church to get it. And that was the only place you could get it. Bless the Lord. So God just went out there. That's when God told Brother Hagin, if you'll read in his I Believe in Visions, he gave him that vision of these people coming into a flower garden. He told Brother Hagin, now you get in neutral places because I'm bringing in the denominational people. And they won't come to your Pentecostal church. So Brother Hagin started out in meetings and hotels and things. And it indeed came to pass. And we know what happened with Brother Duplessy. Brother Duplessy was used by God with all those denominations to bring them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was right up into the offices of the Pope, and his brother Justice was in the offices of the Pope. He told me, Brother Duplessy told me the Popes and what he thought, who he thought was saved and born again and Spirit-filled, and he spoke so highly of Pope John. And he said, he was in Pope John's office, and Pope John said, Duplessy, if the Christians like you in America could ask me any one thing, and I would do it, I would grant it, what would it be? And he said, I have no idea, Pope. And he said, well, Duplessy, if you could ask me any one thing, what would it be? And Duplessy said, that you would allow the Catholics to read their Bibles. For years, since the Dark Ages, Catholics were not allowed to read their Bibles. In a few short days, the Pope had decreed Catholics can read their Bibles. And the Word of God. Isn't that a big thing? But you know what Duplessy's told to us? He said, and it's funny, too, he told us this part. He said, Miss Wigglesworth came and pinned him to the wall. And he said, and then later on at breakfast, he said, Wigglesworth said, good morning, David, how are you today? Nice to see you. And David Duplessy said, well, Wigglesworth, you already have seen me this morning. He said, you've already greeted me. He said, no, I didn't greet you. He said, that was the man of God. That was the prophet of God with the word of God in him, greeting no man in the way. He said, this is Wigglesworth greeting you. Good morning. I found from those old timers, they appreciated the gifts of God. They appreciated the words of God. Hallelujah. But Wigglesworth told us then he began to pray about it. And when he began to pray about what God, I mean, he's down in South Africa. And he's a part of the Assemblies of God type denomination. And how's it going to come to pass? He hasn't been in the Pope's office yet. The people around him don't even believe that God likes any Catholic on earth. And he said that he had to lay his all on the altar. And he told us how he went through the process in prayer to prepare himself to be in that place where he was an absolute vessel of God. And he said, I laid my all on the altar. And he said, I came to the last thing. He said, that was the hardest thing to lay on the altar I ever laid on the altar. And he said, it was, quote unquote, my ministry. He said, I had to take my ministry and put it on the altar. My reputation in ministry, my open doors, everything. And he said, it took me several days to really release it to the Lord. Let him touch it with his blood. And he said, then when I did, sure enough, he got kicked out of his denomination. They took away his papers. And years later, after he was named Mr. Pentecost, that denomination met back with him and said, we'd like you. They said to him, wouldn't you please receive your papers again? And he said, you know, I wasn't the one who was in favor of giving them up in the first place. And so he did take back the papers. But you know, I mean, your ministry. I'll tell you what, I've had to wrestle with that all my born days of ministry. Because the Lord will tell me to preach things that I don't hear other people preaching. In 1985, he said, I want you to start preaching that Jesus is coming. I said, Lord, I do not hear people in my circles preaching that Jesus is coming, saying that Jesus is coming soon. He said, I didn't want you to preach it because they're saying it. I want you to preach it because I said it. And it was like, now, maybe I'm just a scaredy cat. I don't know why. What? You know, I mean, you could put me in that place with Shelley. But it was like, I'm going to go out there preaching that Jesus is coming, and they're never going to have me, anybody's not going to have me come to their churches. And then God told me he wanted me to go to Israel and learn the language. And he started talking to me about all those things, end time things. I said, oh God, they don't want me to talk about Israel. And then little sister Wilkerson prophesied to me and said, Mama Goodwin prophesied to me. First time the Lord told us, he said, take a trip. Put your feet on Finland, put your feet on Moscow, and then put your feet on Israel. And when you get to Israel, I'm going to tell you something. I'd been to Finland and Russia many times, never been to Israel. Mama Goodwin prophesied to me, and she said, God's taking you someplace. You've never been before a country, and he's going to open the widest doors to you there. And then Sister Wilkerson prophesied, you're going to be responsible to share with the church what God shows you about Israel. And I thought, oh God, they're not going to want me to talk about Israel. They don't want me to talk about that. I work for Brother Hagin. They want me to talk about what Brother Hagin talks about. Bless the Lord. And so from time to time, you know, it's been hard for me. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say hard, but I'll tell you what it's been. It's been putting your ministry on the altar. It's like they might never invite you back again. And you know, last night, that was not easy for me. You know, because we always want people to feel so good, and we're faith people. But you know, the Lord told me, he said, now, you just can't, sins have to be dealt with. You just can't sweep them under that rug. We're talking about holiness and about power. And so sometimes it's been for me that I've had to do that, you know. And I don't know, probably have to do it from now on. Bless the Lord. But there does come that place of, you know, obeying God and putting your all on the altar. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. You know, that's putting everything on the altar. That's the consecration. And you say it to the Lord every day. I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Even Jesus faced it in Gethsemane. Even he himself. It seemed as though his flesh would have loved to have drawn back from that. Bless the Lord. But he put his all on the altar. And he went forth with God. I'm going to read just a little bit more of Wigglesworth. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Is there anything more? Oh, yes. He's talking about coming in the fullness of God. Wigglesworth. We must see the next thing. Being made conformable unto his death. Jesus taught that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies...
Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and what you have heard today is from my classic in-depth teaching on holiness. We'll send you the CDs of the entire series, which normally sell for $72, but we're offering them to you today for $35. Just phone us at 1-800-972-3447 and ask for the classic series on holiness. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.